Well, I just want to go way back to when I was probably 10 years old. And one of my neighbors came back from the hospital crying, a lady. And I asked the neighbor, not her, but the other neighbor, what was wrong. And she said she just found out she couldn't have children. And I said, well, why is she crying? And then I went home and I asked my mom, oh, Mrs. Cody is crying. She found out she couldn't have children, and why is she crying? And my mom said, well, that's very upsetting to a lot of people. And I said, oh. And I just couldn't understand why it was so upsetting. As I got older, I kind of learned a little bit more what this was all about. But down deep, I kept saying, I don't want a baby. I just don't want a baby. I take a one-year-old, but I just don't want an infant. And sure enough, as I got older and older and older and never really got involved with someone long enough to consider having a baby, I just thought, that's it. I don't need a child. And then at the age of 49, I believe I was, I'm listening to the news and it comes on about an adoption agency that caters to singles. And I couldn't believe that I could actually still have a child, but not a baby. So I quickly called up the agency. They were as nice as can be in Connecticut. And they directed me towards a social worker. And I went up to see the social worker and she said, where do you want to adopt from? And I said, Russia. And she said, why Russia? I said, I don't know. I just think a Caucasian baby might be the best. And she said, no, you don't want Russia. And after we talked for quite a while, she said, China's for you. And everything just clicked. And I said, yeah, China's definitely for me. That's definitely where I want to go. So it took me about a month and a half to get my dossier together, get it to China. And 13 months later, I get the referral call, which was just maybe the second or third best day of my life. And a couple months later, I'm on a plane with my very best girlfriend who has twins, and she's a preschool teacher. I knew she'd be great help with me. And off we went to pick up my beautiful daughter. And it was only six people in our travel group, six families, three being single parents. And the very next day, they handed me my beautiful daughter, who was the only child in the whole room that wasn't crying. She was just smiling and so happy. It took a couple days for her to realize, I think, what was going on, and then the crying began, but it didn't last that long. There's just so much to tell. I don't know what I'm skipping or where I should go, but once we did get home, I have a lot of friends, and they all started coming over rather quickly to meet Leah, and she was kind of shy and didn't cry much, she certainly didn't say much. She was 20 months old, and I got my child, but I didn't have the infant that I didn't think I could handle. Of course, looking back now, infants are great, but that was just how I felt at that time. Leah has grown up. She's almost 15 now, and she is the most beautiful, intelligent, smart, sweetest kid I know, but very, very quiet, very shy. Amongst her peers, she lets loose a little bit. She has what we call Chinese sisters, all the girls from the group that traveled together to China. We do stay in touch as much as we can, and she feels she has a lot in common with those children, but does not really open up with them as much as I would hope. We've discussed finding her birth parents. She says she very much wants to. However, I think when push comes to shove, if we really did go back to China and look, I don't know how she'd feel, because she tends to say one thing, and then when it comes right down to it, something serious, she'll do something else. However, I think that's being a teenager. It's it's just interesting because when Leah was born, I was 48 years old. So I'm being a single mom, single older mom, I'm sure it's a little tougher for my daughter, who would really like to have both mother and father and a load of siblings if possible, but doesn't look like it's in the cards. And that's it in a nutshell.
Was it hard for you to decide to adopt as a single mom? What kind of thinking went into that decision?
Yeah, that's such a good question because it happened so quickly. So many people say to me, well, did you think about it for a long time? And honestly, I did not. It just happened. As soon as I heard that newscast saying this adoption agency caters to singles, I had no idea a single person, unless you're a movie star, could adopt. And then when I found out that China allowed this, I was just taken. You know, I just knew, yes, 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 this is the way it's got to go.
Did you know anything about the one-child policy or why China had opened its doors to international adoption at the time that you heard that newscast, or did you learn about it as a result of?
I did know. There was a documentary on TV years before I thought about this, and it always stuck with me, this woman who left this little bundle, you know, near a police station, and then hid in the woods, hid behind a tree, to be sure this child was going to be picked up and cared for. And she was crying, but she knew she had to do this. And that's when I really learned about what was going on. And it stuck with me. I never realized that I would be part of a story like that, but it really, really stayed with me. So I did know what was happening there.
Where you live in Vermont, are there many other Asian kids?
No. Mm-hmm. And that's part of our problem is, Leah, I don't know if you're born with, like, city girl genes or country girl, but my girl is such a city girl. She wants the bright lights, the traffic, the nightlife. I want the country, just listening to a waterfall and no lights. And that's probably where we differ the very most. And we do have, oh gosh, probably three other Asian children in our area of about 3,000 population, which consists of four or five towns. She will be going to a high school that has a lot more, which is a good hour from where we are, but that's the way it goes. And I honestly, she tells me that there's no difference between her Asian friends and her Caucasian friends or her any color friends. She feels there's no difference. Down deep, maybe she feels differently, but she claims there's no difference.
Do you think there's a difference?
A difference regarding just their physical appearance. And, you know, when we go to Chinatown or even into New York City, there's so many Asians, and I feel the one out of place. And Leah just seems to engross herself in it. So she just kind of walks ahead of me even and kind of wants to join in with all the Asian influence. So I think there must be some difference other than the physical, but here in Vermont, in southern Vermont, where there just isn't much going on, she just doesn't see it. So it's hard to get anything out of her. It's real hard to get anything out of her.
About how she's sort of
feeling
her ethnic identity and
exactly
the context that she's in. I see.
Yeah.
Do you... You said you stayed in touch with your travel group.
Yes.
Are there other opportunities for her to, is there an FCC chapter there? Is it
There's
pretty,
not.
No. Well,
no.
What's the closest city to you?
Big
city.
Big city, I guess it would be Albany, New York, or Boston, which are both a good couple hours away.
Oh, okay. Okay. So, yeah, so she's probably, you know, who knows, maybe when she goes to Chinatown, suddenly it's a feeling of, wow, I look like everybody else.
Right, right. And we were in Hawaii not long ago, and she said the same thing. She said, wow, you know, you're the one out of place here. And I said, I know. But it was great for her. She really is gorgeous. And people turn their heads and look at her in our area. But when we go to areas where all these beautiful Asian people are, they don't tend to turn their heads that much. And I think she likes that better.
Maybe she just likes not feeling that she's an object of attention.
Right. She definitely feels that. As a matter of fact, and I don't really mean to brag about her that much, but she's an exceptional student, as many Chinese students are. And I think she purposely didn't hand in some homework last year, so she didn't get that 4.0 average. She just didn't want the notoriety of, you know, her academic ability. And I kept saying, Leah, the teacher said you didn't hand in the homework. What's going on? And she just kind of ignored it all. And at the end of the year, the teacher called me and said, I don't get it. And I said, do you think she just didn't want that 4.0 average, so she wasn't set up on a pedestal? And he said, that could be it. That really could be it. So it's challenging, but in a good way.
Did you decide to let that go, or did you talk with her about it?
Oh, I definitely talked to her about it, but she wouldn't talk back about it. She just said, I didn't understand. I said, yes, you did. I know you understood what he was asking. And she just kept arguing about it. And the second to the last day of school, she did hand in some homework, but she wouldn't hand it all in. Mm-hmm. And she just didn't want those high honors. And I said, well, you better change your mind when you get in high school, because that's our key to getting you into a good college. So we'll just see what happens in the next few years.
Do you find that it's challenging, or maybe you don't, to try to discern in your own mind what may be about being Chinese in a largely, you know, Caucasian community, and what may be about being 15?
Yes, I can't figure it out. I thought maybe there was a little bullying going on, that she didn't want to participate in a certain class, but they assure me that that wasn't it. And talking to some of her friends, they tell me that isn't it either. I think it's more that she's adopted rather than she's Chinese that holds her back a little bit. She's very concerned about why her biological parents didn't keep her, even though she's read as much as she possibly can on the subject and understands it. You know, she feels real sad about it. I think I've seen this girl cry maybe twice since she's been adopted all these years. She doesn't cry. Even if she gets hurt or sick, she doesn't seem to cry. And only once, when we were visiting my niece, who has three young children and all sorts of family were there, and everybody was saying, oh, you look just like your dad. Oh, you act just like your mom. As we drove home, she started crying, and I was just shocked, and I pulled over, and she just said, I'll never know if I look like my mom or dad. I'll never know if I have their traits. And it just really got to her, and then I started crying because I felt so bad. I didn't know what to say. I just said, Leah, if we can find your biological parents and find out more, I'll be happy to. She is in the DNA bank, so, you know, maybe someday we will find out a little bit more, but I think it just upsets her more that she's adopted than she's Chinese.
Can you talk a little more about the DNA bank? How did you become aware of it, and what did you get her in?
From the internet, good old internet, you know, everybody was talking about they can now spit into a tube and be in a large DNA bank. So I, you know, it was definitely worth it to get Leah started somewhere. And sure enough, we connected with maybe 3 fourth cousins, which we know are way down the line. And we actually found 1 second cousin, which was really interesting. We have not met them yet because they live in Nevada and we're in Vermont, but we stay in touch with them via the internet. And, you know, we don't know how the girls are connected, but the DNA seems to say they're second cousins. And it's just kind of exciting to get something saying, oh, we found another relative, you know, wanted to check it out via the internet. And we do, so many people have come forward and been very, very nice, but they're all over the world. So it isn't like we can hop in the car and go visit someone. We're not even sure, you know, if it's someone's second cousin's third aunt, you know, that had a baby. But it just, it's just very, very interesting. We're going to pay attention to it.
So even those more remote connections, mm-hmm. and I imagine with, you know, with DNA testing, probably a fair number of matches come up, you know, just
right.
by sheer probabilities. Do those give her any solace?
No.
Or are they just too remote? Yeah.
Too remote, right. This one little girl who isn't that little anymore from Nevada, she kind of pays attention to her on the internet, but that's the only one that really kind of connected. I think because this little girl also has a single mom, although she was married when she adopted. She isn't anymore. Leah just feels like they have a lot in common. But Leah still thinks that, you know, she should have a father. And I'm still looking. I hope I'll ever find one. So it's just a little difficult for us, being an older mom, single, living in a very rural area.
Are you originally from Vermont?
No, I'm from the Berkshires in Massachusetts, similar, mm-hmm. not too far away. But I just love the solitude here, and she doesn't. And that's been probably our biggest struggle. 2 years ago, I had my house for sale. I was ready to pick up and move, but the house never sold. So we stayed, and then I realized, I don't want to move anyway. I'm just doing this because Leah needs it. But because Leah needs it, I felt it was a responsibility of mine. And I don't know, just we go back and forth on it. Mm. And she just laughs kind of now and says, you're never going to move. You've told me that since I was in third grade. So it's a tough one.
And it's easier said than done.
Oh, so true. Yes.
As anyone who's sort of an adult with a house and a
mm-hmm.
job recognizes.
Exactly.
What do you do for a living, Deborah?
I'm a real estate broker. I have my own firm, which also is difficult because I've been here so long and have, you know, so many referrals. It keeps my business going. If I were to start over again somewhere else, it would be just so very different. It's just really hard. We're at a vacation area, ski areas, and it's like I feel like I'm on vacation where I live. When I go away, I can't wait to get back home. Mm. So I just love it here, and Leah just doesn't. So we've got to find a happy medium, and I'm just, if I can get her through high school and then she's off to college, then I know she'll be happy.